All right, let's welcome everybody out to a brand new episode of Let's Talk Local Utah. My name is Chris Hollifield. I am your host. Welcome to my podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me, for coming back week after week, for subscribing, for leaving reviews, and for just telling your family and friends about the show. That's the only way we get this show bigger is word of mouth. You know, my advertising budget is non-existent. So let's make sure we're telling our family and friends about the show. Before I introduce this week's guest of the podcast, really fun podcast I have for you today. Of course, want to mention the show sponsor, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. It's my real estate team, so got to give them some love. Many thanks for their support. You know, if you have any questions about the real estate market, if you're looking to buy or sell right now and you're unsure, is this a good time? Reach out. I'd love to help you out. My number is 801-244-2908. You can text or call me anytime. I'd love to chat with you, especially if you're a listener of the podcast. But today on the podcast, we're going to talk about dogs and animals in general, I guess, probably mostly dogs. But I have Ryan, is it Ryan Gwilliam, right? Did I pronounce that right? I didn't even ask you before we started recording. I'm sorry,
it.
Ryan.
Nailed it.
He is the owner, it's Train Walk Poop, right? I love the name.
Keep it simple
and straightforward. And there's something to be said about remembering a name with the name Poop in there, right? You know, and I'm sure that's probably why you did it to a degree, right?
I got news, famous people on the news, the radio to say Poop live. It's one of my
that's like
one
of your
I'm
goals.
Proud of. Not something I planned on. It just kind of worked out, and I think it's hilarious. So I actually picked the name because of Google keywords.
Okay.
So my original name was Pack Leader, LLC was the business name, right? And learning about how to rank in Google, this is early on. And so, you know, I picked where we were doing poop scooping at the time, which we don't do anymore, but train, walk, poop. And so it made a good URL and helped us rank higher. And eventually I just changed the business name because people would always laugh. And it would stick, you know, Pack Leader sound, it doesn't really stick out.
Yeah.
And so Train Walk Poop definitely does.
And you don't know Pack Leader, could that be like maybe Cub Scouts, right? Because the Cub Scouts have their pack or, you know, what's the business
industry,
about?
And almost any industry, like you're trying to be the leader of whatever industry. Right?
Yeah. So very smart person there with, you know, smart guy. But you mentioned you were a poop scooping at first, right? When
yeah.
you first started this, I've actually was curious because I've seen some businesses out there doing that. And so
yeah.
you don't do it anymore though.
No. Yeah. I actually started as a dog walker and then got into training and we added poop scooping after that.
And you just were like, no more poop scooping.
Yeah. It just was, I had trouble making the numbers work, I guess. And it wasn't something I was real passionate about. And so
picking it up.
I'm mostly into the training. Right. So we've been leaning hard that way, but I know there's guys out there doing it and doing well, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely an interesting business. So when you mentioned you were a dog walker at first,
mm-hmm.
was that just, I mean, talk about that. I mean, how long ago were you doing? I mean, years and years
16
ago.
16 years now.
And what made you decide to start walking dogs?
So I was in real estate.
Okay. So you used to do real estate too.
Cool. And the market crashed.
Okay.
I went bankrupt.
Okay.
So that was an unpleasant time in my life. And during that, I got a puppy kind of on a whim with a roommate and didn't know how to train him. It was just, you know, he was peeing all over our condo and we were having lots of issues with him. And so I started watching The Dog Whisperer. A friend told me, hey, you got to watch this show. So I started watching that and like, wow, look what he can do in such a short period of time. And so I just got into just training my own dog. And also I was broke. And I really liked working with my dog. I was like, all right, let's place an ad in Craigslist. That's where I put my first ad.
Good old Craigslist.
Yeah. And was like, I'll walk your dog for $6 an hour. Or $6 for 30 minutes, I think is what I had put. My plan was to walk groups of dogs, you know, like they do in New York.
Yeah.
Did not work out in Utah at all.
Well, I was wondering that, like if there is a demand for dog walking.
There is, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. And that was my main source of revenue for many years. And then it started tapering off kind of when the apps like Rover
Okay.
Came out, and now a lot of people just jump on Rover. It's kind of like Uber for for dog walking and pet sitting. But also at the same time that was happening, I was also going like my real passion is training. I love that, finding people that have these huge issues with dogs or small issues, but helping them through that and enjoying life with their dog after that. And so the market kind of pushed me that way, and I was already wanting to go that way, and so just went with it.
So did you give up real estate then 100%? Are you involved at all in real estate?
Yeah, and so that's part of what I learned through that experience is like, you can make some really good money in real estate, and some people love it. Yeah. I hated it. I didn't like it at all. Yeah.
How many years did you do real estate? How many was it? A couple years?
Two, three years. Like when everyone was getting into real estate, so was I. I just like, this is just not something I enjoy doing. And every time I'd watch The Dog Whisperer, I'd work with my dog, I was buying up dog training books, dog psychology books, just to read for fun on the side. And I'm like, all right, something.
Soaking all that up, and you're like, okay, this is where my passion is. So you kind of taught yourself how to train dogs then?
Initially, yeah. And it was kind of a mistake I made as I, you know, like a do-it-yourself type thing where I was studying on my own, just watching Dog Whisperer on TV, and I got okay results. You know, everyone was like, wow, your dog's so well behaved. So, I mean, you can definitely get some good learning there, but I waited too long to start investing in myself. And once I finally started going to workshops and training under other trainers, that's when I really got good as a trainer and was really helping a lot more people.
What kind of dog did you have when you first, what were you have at this time? I'm curious.
Yeah, he was a pit bull mix.
Do you still have
the Butters? No, he's passed.
Okay.
And then my second dog was a pit bull. So I had those two that were my first two.
So you're a pit bull guy?
I was. Now I have a cattle dog mix and a pug. So I've had.
You've had them all.
Different kinds, yeah.
Awesome. And we'll get more into that too, you know, some of your favorite breeds and and certain. So you're walking dogs and you decide you want to start training them. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, let's turn this into more of a business then? Or when did that kind of happen for you?
No, I planned on the business right away.
Okay.
As soon as I had set it up before I placed the dog walking ad.
Gotcha.
So I had it all, I was planning on at least dog walking. And I did do some training right from the beginning. It just was not a lot because I wasn't exactly sure how to do it.
Gotcha.
I knew I needed more training there, more experience, and I didn't want to get too deep. I ran into a couple of dogs too along the way that were way over my head.
Yeah.
It humbled me real quick. And so.
Like, well, talk about that. What, like, humbled you how? Like,
yeah, so just the first
wild
one,
dogs or?
The first one, he was some sort of like mastiff mix or something.
Oh, a big boy.
So he's big and I was naive enough. He's like, hey, he fence fights with my neighbor's dog. He's real aggressive. And I had seen the Dog Whisperer. And so I thought I could turn this dog around. And I had Butters, who was super social. Like he could get any dog to play, it seemed like. So I'm like, me and Butters will fix it. I'm like, we'll get this, right? So I went to his house and saw the dog. I was like, he actually is pretty intense. That's, you know, let's bring him to my house. So the customer brought the dog to my house. We're going around my block. And I was like keeping a distance and thought I could get them used to each other. And a lot of times that will work. You can end up going on a walk together, you know, one dog on each side. And as long as you don't make them go nose to nose, a lot of times you can at least get them on friendly terms. But this dog, he just wanted to eat my dog no matter what. And so that was really eye-opening. I was like, oh, no, it doesn't matter what I do. This dog, you know, he's like.
He's going
to
eat your dog.
Really, he was looking forward to the opportunity of fighting another dog, right?
Yeah.
So it was well beyond my capabilities, and I referred them to another trainer.
You were like, I can't do it. Do you still run into those type of issues where you might have to refer a dog to another person?
We occasionally do refer to Canine Lifeline.
Okay.
Heather Beck is a friend and has been a mentor, and we can take all the dogs. Like, I've worked with enough now that there's not really a dog that I'm like, oh, we can't work with this dog. But when they're really human aggressive, if they're really dog aggressive, no problem. We take those dogs all day. But if they're really human aggressive, it takes a really specialized handler, or they're, you know, they could get bitten.
Sure.
The owner could get bitten, somebody else. And we've decided as a team that we're very selective on which of the human aggressive cases that we'll take just because of the risk for bites. It's stressful.
And I didn't even think about that. You probably have dealt with a few dog bites in your day of doing this.
I've only had one really bad bite. I got
like a really aggressive dog. Or it was just a bite. And it just...
Well, I pushed my luck.
Gotcha.
In hindsight, she was pretty nice to me. Like she could have bitten me harder for sure if she wanted to. But that's the only gnarly bite I've had. And I learned, she taught me really well. And I was like, oh, okay, this is where this can go. And so I got a lot better at training dogs, and I was ignoring body language signals that she was clearly telling me, like, hey, you should not do that again. And so, and by that, I'll just explain. So have you seen Dog Whisperer, how he rolls them on their back?
Alpha. I've actually never even seen that. Oh, it's a show. It's a TV show?
Yeah, or what? Caesar Milan, you haven't heard of him?
Well, no, I don't watch a lot of TV, man. What is it? Is it on like
he's
a TV
still
or
on,
YouTube or how can we find it?
Yeah. YouTube, TV.
Okay.
He's still on, I think, Animal Planet or something like that. Okay. I haven't watched it in a long time, like a decade or more, but he was.
Also check it out. Yeah.
But you can learn some cool stuff on there. He's a cool guy. But anyway, so he rolls the dogs over on their back and makes them submit.
Yeah.
Where they just have to lay there and almost say like, okay, I'm sorry. And then he lets them up. So I did that with this boxer and she let me do it twice, I believe. And I could tell she wasn't happy about it, but she let me. And then on the third time, she's like, yeah, no, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And she crunched this right hand. And, dislocated this bone here.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a couple of little scars, but as far as dog training goes, I got away pretty easy. Most dog trainers have more scars than that. But
So let's fast forward actually to present day. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2024. So, I mean, you've been doing this many, many years. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you have a team now. I mean, I was looking on your website. It looks like it's not just you anymore.
Nope.
Right? Like you have staff.
Yeah.
You're doing this. I mean.
Yeah, we work with anywhere from like 40 to 60 dogs a day.
Wow. Do you have you must have your own like a warehouse or an office or something? Like, I mean, for all these dogs, did you do daycare as well?
Yeah, daycare, boarding, and training.
So you have your own facility, I guess it would be.
Yeah, it's about 6,000 square feet, South Salt Lake, 33rd South and 3rd West.
Okay.
Close to there.
I mean, is this like your first? Okay, well, actually, let's back up a little bit. So, I mean, you were obviously doing real estate. So, I mean, real estate's kind of, you know, obviously a business venture, mm-hmm. right? But then you get into this dog walking. Have you always been kind of the entrepreneur type? Like, did you know how to turn this into a full-fledged business, or was it just something you kind of learned along the way?
Yeah, both.
yeah, both. Because a lot of people don't know how to, it's like, how do you get over that obstacle of actually making money and being successful? It sounds like you did.
Yeah, trial and error. Obviously, my first venture did not go as planned.
With the dog walking?
Yeah. With the real estate.
Oh, with the real estate.
So, yeah, so before that, I actually did a multi-level marketing business called Arbonne. My mom still does it.
Arbonne. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, so it's like Mary Kay, kind of.
Okay.
And so I tried that, didn't enjoy that too much. And I think the next one was the real estate.
Gotcha.
And then dogs after that.
So. That's funny. My mom did Amway. So that's, okay. That's what I knew is Amway. So, it's a lot of people, every day, I hear people that say, I want to start my own business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work for the man anymore. I don't want to, and then here you are. How many employees do you have? How much, what's your staff like?
12 right now.
12 employees. Does that get stressful?
Employees? Managing team. Yep. Because there's always, it's just more complex.
Okay.
And every business owner I've talked to has debated from time to time, like, should I just go back to just doing my own thing? It's hard to run a team. And then, but there's costs to doing it either way. And so, in the end, I enjoy, watching it grow, being able to help more dogs, more people. And I really like watching my team members light up too. It's like I teach them something new about dogs and they get to see a dog go from like stressed out to enjoying the training session. stuff like that, and they just light up and like, oh, this is so awesome. This is what I wanted to do. And so that part of it's really fun.
Talk about the services you offer. So you offer daycare. So like if somebody's going out of town or, I mean, I guess some people probably might bring their dogs there daily.
Yeah, we have a lot of, so Monday through Friday, they'll bring for daycare, drop them off before work, pick them up after. And we do training. So a lot of dog daycares that you would see, you hear about are, you know, it's just kind of, it's a bunch of dogs just run free. It's like a dog park.
Sure.
With a staff member or two watching. And with us, it's very training oriented. So all my staff are basically trainers. They can, you know, help the dogs walk nicely back to the social room. We kennel them in between classes so that they're learning to, you know, calm and relax and nap in between and wait their turn for their next class. And then we make sure they all play nice, which doesn't always happen.
Interesting. So people can bring their dogs to you, and I mean virtually get it trained during the day while they're at work. And yeah. Can a dog be too old to be trained? I've actually been curious of that. Like, can a dog, like let's say a 10-year-old dog I brought into you or something like that.
It's a common question. So it depends on what you're training for just the basic obedience. No dog is too old.
Okay.
So we've taken really old dogs and they're just like, hey, he barks all the time. He's, you know, chewing stuff up or whatever it might be. And yeah, we can totally fix that at any age. But if you're like, hey, I want this dog to be a service dog or a bomb detection dog, you know, that you have to get him in too young.
Okay. So. Interesting. What do you think about like technology, like, you know, collars, shock collars or that type of thing to, for people to train their dogs? I mean, what do you think of that kind of stuff?
We use all the tools.
Okay. So use them all.
Just use them responsibly, which doesn't always happen. I'll be the first to admit with my first puppy Butters, he learned along with me. And so I used a knee collar very early on. My roommate's like, oh, I've used them. And he kind of said, hey, here's how you do it. And knowing what I know now, like it was not the right way to do it. So I'd recommend anyone who's going to use an e-collar or bark collar, you have a trainer help you through that so that it's like a gentle introduction and it's done properly. So that's the only caveat I would put. But yeah, all the tools can be...
Okay.
Can be extremely helpful in fixing different behavioral issues as long as you use it gently and use it right.
Interesting. Interesting. You know, you always see like funny jokes with shock collars and stuff like that. And you're like, you always wonder like, I don't know, you know, is that good or is it bad? I don't know. I mean, I guess again, it's like how you use it.
It's how you use it. It can be life-saving. Yeah. I don't go hiking with dogs without it because like I tell everybody, dogs are like toddlers for life. And so you can have the best trained dog in the world, but if they're favorite thing goes by when you're out on a hike, let's say deer, porcupine, another dog that they're just like, I have to go say hi. And you're like, no, I need you to come. You know, you're going to get hit by a car or you might get in a fight or whatever. You know, having that e-collar there, that shock collar to know that they'll come back is a good safety net to have.
Is there a breed of dogs that's easier to train than other dogs?
Generalizing, yeah, definitely. But I always tell people like I've met an easy to train dog of every breed and a hard one.
Okay.
You know, so the stereotypes aren't always true. Like I've met easy to train huskies, but they have a reputation for being hard to train.
A little stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah, just really independent. And generally that is true. But I've also found like golden retrievers that are just super hard to train. So sometimes they don't read their breed handbook and you got to just train the dog that's in front of you.
Is there a breed you like better as far as training or is that kind of in the same
category? Yeah, I like them all for different reasons. Like
sure.
The herding breeds, the working breeds are really smart. And so, you know, they're going to push you to like challenge them mentally because they're so smart. They're like, hey, I'm bored. Yeah, I got that. That's a down. Cool. What's next? So
it's probably safe to say that, you know, with the next question is there a breed that you wouldn't train? Probably not. Then it based off of the previous answers or
yeah, we'll work with any dog. Like we like them all, but, the ones that I would say that most people shouldn't get.
Yeah. What dogs?
There's like Cane Corsos. Have you heard of those?
Huh?
They're, any of the breeds that were bred to be aggressive towards humans. There are some that, you know, they're protection dogs. They're trained for protection work. They're meant to protect property and
sure.
And you can breed that in. So they just have a high likelihood that they're more willing to bite. Most dogs are like, they're really hesitant. You can just see as you're training them. They're like, even if they're stressed out, they're like, I don't want to bite. How do I get out of this? Whereas those types of breeds are going to be more like, oh, okay, well, I will bite you. You better back up. You know, you better take this slower or I'm going to bite you. They're just much more willing to go there.
Yeah. I'll have to Google that dog. It's interesting because, you know, I was curious what your answer would be because I know you've mentioned pit bulls a couple of times and they typically have a bad reputation with most people.
Yep.
Luckily, I've actually been in living situations where I had a roommate actually had a pit bull and it was the nicest dog in the world. His brother actually raised him and were some of the nicest dogs in the world.
Yeah.
And they have such a bad reputation. I was curious what your thoughts are on some of that, especially since you do have a pit bull, I guess.
Yeah, so I...
Why do you think they have such a bad reputation?
So they're really good dogs with people.
Okay.
And a lot of them are great with other dogs as well. Yeah. And we have pit bulls that come to our daycare every day.
Sure.
And no problems. The deal is that if there is a fight and it happens to be one of those pit bulls that's down to fight, they will go to the next level.
Well, sure.
And they're likely to win. Like they're better fighters. Some of this has been bred into them.
Sure.
And so there's some truth there.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, they get a bad rap. If they're raised with good owners, you know, people that are putting in the work and not just leaving them frustrated in the yard or whatever. Yeah, they're great dogs.
Well, it's just like my roommate's dog. I mean, it was the best dog ever. Yeah. I mean, it makes me want one. I mean, I actually don't even have a dog currently. I know I'm a bad guy. I need a dog in my life.
You're missing out.
Yeah, I really am.
But yeah, pitties are the best. They love to just like give kisses and snuggle. Like they're great with kids.
Yeah.
You know, the first two that my first two dogs obviously were pits and they were awesome. They're great dogs.
Remind me, how many dogs do you have now? Two dogs?
I just have two, yeah.
Two dogs, but none of them are pits.
Nope.
No. You ever think about getting another one?
I don't know. I might.
Yeah.
I hesitate to say what I will and won't get because a lot of times, like you're, like my cattle dog, Batman, I never thought I was going to get a cattle dog, but we were fostering him. So we were training him up for cause of your... Well, you
probably cause CAWS.
Yeah, you have them. Okay, cool.
I mean, I have adopted dogs in the past. I just don't currently.
You just don't have one now.
Yeah,
right on.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've worked with them.
Yeah,
and that's where Batman came from. We were fostering him, training him up, and we were going to find him a home. And you know, I'd see him when I'd come into work, and I think by like the third or fourth day, I was like, "All right, somebody on our team has to adopt this dog. He's awesome." And everyone's like, "No, I can't adopt him." I'm like, "It's got to be me. Like he's my dog." So. I say that because sometimes a dog just kind of picks you or they just show up and so it might be a pity in the future. Who knows what it'll be.
Where do you think like the most common mistakes are when people are trying to train their dogs? Like, cause I'm sure that it happens all the time. I mean, I have had dogs and we, you know, you be like, oh, I can just train it, you know, myself. I don't need to take it to a trainer.
Yep.
I mean, ideally, I'm sure you know, your first answer would be, just bring it to me, you know. But let's say somebody listening might not even live near you, right? I have listeners, believe it or not, outside of Utah. What do you think, like, a common mistake with most people with training their dog is?
That's easy.
Okay.
The biggest mistake is too much freedom too soon.
Explain that. What do you mean by that?
If you get a puppy or an older dog... people let the dog just kind of run free
okay.
and then almost set themselves up for bad behaviors and bad habits to start. So what trainers do is we restrict that freedom until they are trustworthy. And that makes it much more clear and less stressful for the dog too. So like if I just got a dog today and I took him home, you know, we'd probably go on a walk, but I wouldn't just let him loose in the yard in the house and see what happens. I'd have him on leash. And if he seemed calm enough, I would drop the leash and let him drag the leash. So the biggest tip is if you're having behavioral issues, dragging a leash in the house until you're like, oh, I don't need that leash anymore because he just listens to my voice all the time.
Yeah.
So you start by restricting that freedom, and you're just, you're like, hey, bud, the better you behave, the more time out of the kennel you get, the more freedom in the yard you get, life gets good. But if you're like jumping up and stealing food and running through the house like a maniac, suddenly you find yourself with a leash on, you find yourself in the kennel. And so that really helps set them up for success.
Interesting. Hopefully people are writing that down.
Write that one down.
And taking notes. But, you know, as a business owner, I think all business owners run into this, but what do you do on days you are not motivated, right? Like you're like, I cannot get out of bed today. Or maybe you don't have those type of days where you can't get out of bed.
But I'm sure
there's motivation days, right? Sure. And especially now, I mean, you said you have 12, like a staff of 12. Mm-hmm. So you're responsible for those people. But what do you do on those days? Like, do you have like a pep talk or like, what does Ryan do?
I always, I love having all the, that's what I like about being a business owner. It's not never boring.
Okay.
Like I've always got, like I can work on marketing or I can work on training the staff or any number of things. Right. So there's always a project that I'm trying to improve or create. But on days where I'm demotivated, typically I'll end up just spending more time with my dogs. And that helps to, like, I might work from home.
Sure.
Do a little more office work and then just go on a walk with Batman, take him off leash, go play some fetch. And that really helps me just kind of decompress, take an easy day, and then I'm ready to get back at it the next day.
Okay. What about advice for, like, let's say somebody listening, you know, they're looking to start a business. Obviously this is a tough one because there's so many different types of business and you know, your business is so much different than let's say like a restaurant or, you know, that type of business. But is there one or two pieces of business advice that you might, be able to offer somebody listening that's looking to start their own business?
Like someone who doesn't know how to.
I mean, I guess that might be a tougher question for you. Let's say you have a business and I'm trying to think of an example. My mind's been blank.
I think I kind of get what you're getting at. So
yeah,
for me, having had several businesses and why this one, right? And why is this one working? Why is it sticking? And I really think it is because I'm passionate about it, but also I just have a knack for it.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that until people started telling me, right? So I would, my advice, and this is what's worked for me, and maybe it's not this way for everybody, but, you know, what people tell you you're naturally good at.
Yeah.
You know, where I just had gotten this dog, he's my first dog, and people are like, wow, he's so well behaved.
Sure.
And it kind of caught my attention too. I was like, wow, like I'm getting a lot of compliments about this. You know, maybe there's something there. Maybe I'm just kind of naturally good at this. And so that's kind of what it was for me. So if you're not sure what to do, it's just kind of using your natural talents. And sometimes people around you will kind of tell you. And I've done that with people I know too. I'm like, dude, you are so good at this. You should be doing this as a side hustle or something. And that's what I would start with, is like, what are people telling you that you're just naturally good at? You could start a side hustle and see how it goes. Get a feel for it.
Like what you can't stop thinking about you're just obsessed with.
Exactly. I think that's the best place to start.
Any thoughts on like expanding at all? Have you thought about like opening up other locations or growing?
I have,
at all?
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually did dog walks in Las Vegas and Denver for a while.
Okay.
So we had three locations and I was running around trying to keep everybody, all the customers happy. And I'd have, you know, an employee quit. I had one quit in Denver when I just opened it up. I drove 9 hours overnight to go walk a dog because I was like, I can't like not show up for this lady. And so I just realized it was going to be too much to manage.
So this was just when you were walking the dogs, though. You weren't doing the daycare and training and stuff.
That was all home based.
Yeah, okay. So there wasn't like you didn't have like facilities like how you have now.
Yeah. It was easier. Like a
business.
So that, and then I did have two daycare training centers open at one point.
Okay.
When I first opened my storefront, then an opportunity came up to like join another daycare and use some of their space. So I had two locations and then that was just crazy. I was working 80 hours a week. I was burned out, and it was just too much to juggle and to make sure that, you know, everything was getting done exactly how I wanted. So everything was really safe. I just said, nope, can't do it. Let's do one location. And just that way all my efforts and focus is on one place.
Yeah. So you've already done it. You're like, no more.
Yeah. I don't really, people are always like, oh, franchise or this or that. And like, I don't know. I just like having my one team, you know, my one location. And
any thoughts on like piggybacking, like another idea, like maybe, this is a horrible example, but like a dog food store or something like that. Like, have you ever thought about like, you know, seeing how you could expand in other areas that could benefit what you're doing now?
Yeah. So actually we have a dog food line. It's called.
Okay. So you do have a dog food. Okay. Yeah. See, I guess I didn't do my homework on you enough. So you do have a dog
food. Nice. Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
No, you bet. You bet.
So utahpaw.com. We do free home delivery on Thursdays of the dog food. So you can order there. We bring it to your door and it's just really high quality food. So
do you like, is it, do you have like a facility making it or are you making it by hand?
Privately labeled. So
okay,
it's a big manufacturer out in Ohio,
but it's good stuff,
but it's really good stuff. Not all dog food is, a lot of the dog food is junk. And so you want to have a high quality kibble. There's some info about that on the website or people can email me. I'd be more than happy to.
On utahpaw.com.
Yeah.
Is it, yep. How long have you been doing that for?
So I actually was a customer for many years, and the owners of Utah Paw were two brothers who were just, they hit a new period in their life where they wanted to spend more time with their kids. They had a lot going on. And they're like, hey, you are in the dog world. You know, I sent them tons of customers, right? And they're like, hey, we want this to continue on. And we worked out a deal and I just took over for that in like 2016. So It's been like 7 years.
Interesting. So, I mean, talk about that a little bit, because I think a lot of people, you know, you'll just go to the store, you know, go to Smith's or where, you know, wherever your local grocery store, Winco or something, and just buy, you know, cheap dog food.
Yep.
Because it's like, well, you know, Bruce over there, he's fine. You know, he's just, I mean,
I did that. Yeah.
Do you notice a difference feeding a dog better dog food?
Oh yeah. 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 So we, you know, we get, obviously puppies and older dogs all the time, but especially with the puppies, they'll come in on cheap food. Like the most popular brands you've heard of, it's probably not the best food. And we can tell, like, it's like if you were feeding your kids Snickers all day.
All day.
Like just, they're just wired and then they crash and they're like, they're really bitey.
Interesting.
And we can tell just by how they poop. We're like, okay, this dog is on crappy food. We are twitching them. Cause a lot of times those puppies are in for potty training. We're like, I can't potty train this dog. They have loose stools. So it's very hard for the puppy to hold it.
Interesting.
And some of people's potty training problems are that, believe it or not. So they're like, why won't he hold it? You know, he goes right before we get outside or whatever. And you switch the food and the poop gets more solid. It gets regular and they eat half as much food in a day. So they poop half as much and it's higher quality. So it's just eating healthy, just like with humans.
Yeah. Like if we eat like garbage, then we feel like garbage.
Yeah. So you'll feel better. Your dog's going to feel better. It's the same stuff.
Interesting.
So the best, I'll just, you know, even though I sell dog food, the best diet is raw meat, vegetables, home cooked stuff. But most people aren't willing to put in the work, myself included. So I do buy some raw meat that's for dogs. Like it's, you know, made for them. It's more like the bone and cartilage and stuff like that.
Where would you get that at? Like a butcher or something maybe?
Yeah. So I'm blanking on the Love Your Pet.
Why is that ringing a bell for me?
She's in Park City.
Okay.
And we have some in our storefront too. So We sell some, you know, training equipment and dog food, but that's been great. So I use Utah Paw kibble for like half their diet and the other half their diet is raw meat. And that's been a really good combo. So it's not too much work for me, but I know the dogs are getting the nutrients they need.
So you can just give your dog raw meat and it's okay, huh?
Yeah, so
you don't have to worry about like bacteria or, I mean,
no, their stomachs are so.
Well, yeah, good. I guess that's kind of a dumb question for a dog.
But. Yeah, we bred them or genetically they can just eat byproducts for us.
Yeah.
You know, so the stuff that we're like, we're not going to eat this, that's perfect to grind up and give to the dogs.
Interesting. It's interesting.
Kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think I'd be the type, it's like I'd be afraid that my dog wasn't getting all the nutrients though, right? So like that, I'd want more of a balanced.
So with my first two dogs, I went all raw because I had heard about it. And I just like read one article and was like, switch my dogs to raw, which is not the way you want to do it.
So did they lack nutrients then? Did
you know? So I was giving them racks of ribs and stuff, and they just got so much loose stools, diarrhea, farts. It was horrendous. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And I learned, I was like, okay, I can't, I obviously need to study more to do this right. Cause you know, it can't just be just ribs and chicken breasts. And turns out like all that, that's way too much protein.
Sure.
So I was feeding them like human grade stuff. And what you want to give them is more bones, bone marrow, cartilage. I hear like turkey necks are really popular, salmon skin. Like this is the kind of stuff that they're putting.
Interesting.
Feeding dogs raw.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, then you hear of, you know, people like vegan, right? They'll feed their dogs vegan. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Guarantee to have a very sick dog.
Yeah. I wouldn't think, you know, it's like, gosh, that dog is kind of meant to eat some meat.
I've never seen that go well long term.
Yeah. But you've heard of it. I'm not crazy in my head for saying
it. Yeah. Dogs and cats, I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dogs can handle it better than cats from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But it's still like they need meat.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'd be actually interesting. Actually, I'm going to say that now on the podcast. If anybody listening does feed their animals vegan, reach out. I would be curious how that, you know, maybe even bring you on the podcast and let's talk about it, you know.
I'd be curious to hear what they say.
Yeah. But, well, cool, man. Like, so people can bring their dogs to you for like a week. They could, you know, you have classes. They could probably, you know, there's all different levels of how extensive they want to go with their dog, with training, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we have day training where they come during the day and get trained up and they go home at night.
Yeah.
We have boarding school, we call it, where they live with us. They live with the trainer from Monday. We like to do it Monday through Friday. And then on the weekends, they go home and practice with the owner. That gives the dog a break from the intense training with us and also gives the owners a couple of days to practice new habits and the new exercises. And then they come back for more the next week. And we also have group classes as well.
You ever have a dog that like does boarding and is like all of a sudden just gets more attached to you than the original owner? And they're like, they don't want to go back to their owner.
I actually thought that would happen.
Yeah.
No, dogs know who their owner are.
Yeah.
And, like, they know once you're their person, like they're loyal that way.
That'd be the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have some dogs that are like, they don't want to go home at the end of the night because like they want to go do training and exercise. Yeah. But it's like, they would definitely still rather live with their own.
Yeah. Well, I have some fun Utah questions that I ask people when they come through here. So to kind of change it a little bit, just to kind of get some of your thoughts and suggestions and recommendations. But you know, we have family and friends that visit us from time to time, right? They fly into town, they're coming from out of state and maybe they've never been to Utah. Right. And they're like, hey, Ryan, let's hop in the car. Give me the tour. Show me around. Take me somewhere cool. Where would you take people to show off or to show people, you know, so many different things.
They always seem to want to go to Temple Square, which I get.
Yeah.
So we usually go there in City Creek Mall.
Okay.
Because it's cool. And Park City usually end up at Main Street Park City. It's a good time. A little bar hopping.
Okay.
People like that. This time of year, I would definitely do my best to motivate them to go snowboarding.
Okay. You a big snowboarder?
I haven't as much lately, but yeah, I love snowboarding.
Awesome. Awesome. Anything else you would do with them?
Probably take them to Red Iguana.
Okay.
I love that place.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Favorite eating spots.
Yeah,
you know, Red Iguana is great favorites. Mexican food.
Oh, there's this great Venezuelan spot. Have you ever had Venezuelan food?
Yeah, I couldn't. I'm sure I have. At but some where? Point.
So it's called Alo Maracucho. It's in West Jordan.
Alo Maracucho.
Uh-huh. It's kind of a weird name. I guess it means like it's all about like a city, the city they're from.
Okay.
But food's so good.
Okay.
Place is just packed all the time. It's so good. So check it out.
Anything that you would, is there anything that you would change about Utah? Like, let's say you had that crystal or that magic ball or, you know.
Magic wand?
Magic wand. There's a word I was looking for.
Man, I don't know. Not much. I really like it here. I actually grew up in Las Vegas and then moved here in high school.
Okay.
Senior year of high school. And It was a rough change at first, but man, it's grown on me a lot. I love it here. I think if anything, and we've already made good strides here, but I would say liquor laws, just like be normal.
That's probably the number just, one answer on this podcast is
let us
liquor
be
laws.
Adults. Yeah. And just be normal. And let's just put that in the past and move on.
What's but funny about that is people that don't even drink believe that. You know, they're like, yeah. Come on. Like, this is silly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think most people are kind of on board at this point. So.
What about all the growth in Utah? What do you think about all the growth?
I dig it. I love people.
Yeah.
And I love dogs. And so the more people we got, the more dogs, and that helps my business. So,
sure.
You know, I'm a little biased in that way. But yeah, I love seeing all the new phases.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the growth, especially over the last couple of years. You know, the year of COVID, 2020, I think since then is really, you know, the biggest growth. And then now, you know, talks of a Major League Baseball team and a NHL hockey team, maybe,
I've heard that.
Yeah, there's some talks of that. And just it's like, where are we going to build more houses? You know, I guess west, you know, we got all that land west, but we're so, you know, far up against the mountain, you know, it's like, where do you go? So
I remember in high school driving past the point of the mountain, it was farmland.
Yeah. I remember that, you know, you would go from Utah County to Salt Lake County.
There was a gap.
And there was a gap. And so it seems so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Now with everything connected almost.
Yeah.
And then with the prison gone now, that's a bit, it's still weird for me whenever I drive by there because I'm still expecting the prison there.
Yeah. I'm getting old.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is interesting. I'm kind of in the same boat as you where it's like, okay, I'll make do with the traffic and the longer lines at places, but I like people too. And I don't blame them for wanting to live in Utah. It's such a beautiful state, but, well, very cool, man. Anything you're looking forward to? I mean, spring's around the corner, really. I mean, winter's on. We're coming to the tail end of winter.
Like spring today, man.
Yeah. Well, this whole week is going to be nice from the weather. But anything you're looking forward to in the next few months that you care to share? Or?
Golf.
Golf is
so
coming.
As soon as it warms up.
Okay.
I'm playing golf as often as my life will allow. So, I love just being outside in nature.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Awesome. Anything more you care to talk about? I mean, first of all, I appreciate you coming and doing the show. Let's mention, of course, your websites. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can people get a hold of you, reach out to you if they have dogs they want to bring in to board or daycare or training work? Where do they go?
Yeah, so trainwalkpoop.com.
Okay.
Find us on Instagram at trainwalkpoop. I got a free bonus for your listeners.
Okay, let's do it. What do we got?
So free session on me.
Okay. Just mention the podcast and boom, you're golden. Yep.
Come in, check us out. We'll give you a free session, teach you some cool stuff right there on day one and see if we're a good fit. And we just like to meet dogs and see how we can help.
Awesome. Is there anything more that you want to promote or talk about? Why the mics are still hot here while we're still recording? You know, sometimes I would stop recording and people are like, oh, I wanted to mention this. And I'm like, oh, you wrote a book or you did this or something like that, you know, that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
I don't think so. Just go get another dog.
Go get another dog.
We'll train them up.
What kind of dog should I get here, Ryan?
If you want to go, well, what are you into?
Well that's the problem. I like all different types of dogs.
Okay.
But I definitely gravitate more towards the smaller dogs.
Okay.
Just because I'm that type of person where it's like, hey, just come along for the car ride. Come along. Just come like a little buddy just to hang out. You know, I don't need a guard dog or you know, I don't have a farm or something, you know, I'm not herding the cattle.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, man, I really have been liking doodles. There's all kinds of...
Oh, yeah, like a golden doodle or something like that.
Golden doodle.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of the mixes now, but I find that the mixing of the breeds is really good. You just tend to get a more balanced personality. Not always, but usually. And... yeah, they're just a lot of fun. They tend to be fairly easy to train and pretty friendly.
Sure.
Both with dogs and people. So I find that's a pretty good way to go.
Awesome.
To be honest.
Well, maybe I'll have to get one of those. Yeah. You know, I've been eyeing those up. The poodle, the little mini poodles, the Shih Tzus, little French bulldogs. I really like the you know.
They're cute. They're bulldogs, so they're bullheaded. They're a little harder to train.
Are they?
They're cute as can be, but
awesome.
They're a little more stubborn. So,
well, thank you so much for recording with me today. It's
a pleasure.
It's been fun to talk about dogs. I always tell people let's catch up down the road. You know, bring you back through and see how the business is going and see how things are going. And
happy to.
You're part of the alumni, the podcast alumni now.
I'm honored.
Thank you so much, Ryan.